Are we ready to get going? So, welcome back, everybody. It's part two. Special Friedman, who is here, I think he's the only person here who was at the share that I gave afternoon at Cooper. And it's not the same share, especially for Ellie. It's a completely different one, in order that Ellie not have to listen to me say the same things again. Just quickly, hands up if you were here last week. Okay, great. Just in group. Fabulous. So, last week we began looking at Yitzhak, and we opened with the, well really we focused on seemingly the absence of Yitzhak. The fact that Yitzhak is not there and is not present as one of the Avot, as one of the forefathers, in the way in which his father Abraham, or in the way in which his son Yaakov is. He seems to be absent at some of the most significant junctures. Most obviously, he is not there when it comes to finding a wife. Rather, unlike every other single biblical story, it's his father's servant who is sent to find a wife. We spoke about the impact of the Arkana on his life. What must it have been like as, however old he was, whether he was 3, whether he was 37, choose your midrash, whatever it was, the impact that must have had on Yitzhak and on his life going forward. And I said to you last week that if you were here last week, you need to come back this week, because we left it sort of at a halfway juncture. Maybe it was even quite a dark shiur. I noticed Rachel was not here tonight, so maybe she boycotted tonight on purpose in protest at how dark it was last week. I want to present what I think is the necessary part two of Yitzhak, trying to tease out and develop this question of, does Yitzhak have some independent identity, something which is his uniquely alone? This is Yitzhak, which isn't Abraham, it's not Yaakov. Or is he simply a repetition, seemingly so much in the shadow of his father? So if you open up to the beginning of this week's parasha, Parashat Toldot, thank you, Dana, which is, if we've all got the same chumash, page 124. Ve'ele toldot Yitzhak ben Abraham. These are the generations of Yitzhak, the son of Abraham. Avraham holid et Yitzhak. Abraham gave birth to Yitzhak. Let's say that verse again. These are the generations of Yitzhak, the son of Abraham. Abraham gave birth to Yitzhak. People see the funniness, the strangeness in the verse? What's the second half of the verse? A direct repetition of the first half of the verse. Who is Yitzhak? He's the son of Abraham. Oh, by the way, Abraham gave birth to Yitzhak. Right? We can't even move without looking at Yitzhak as the son of Abraham. In fact, what does Eile Toldot mean, generally? What's the use of the phrase? It comes up lots, especially in Sefer Bereshit. What does it mean, Eile Toldot, these are the generations of?
Descendants.
Sorry?
Descendants.
These are the descendants of? Who?
Of the person we're mentioning.
Exactly, right? Eile Toldot Noah doesn't mean we're now going to tell a story about Noah. It means we're going to tell a story about the descendants of Noah. Right, so too every single time. Eile Toldot Yishmael, at the end of last week's parasha, we now list the generations of Yishmael. So here we are, we've finished with Abraham, right? Sarah died at the beginning of last week's parasha, Abraham died at the end of last week's parasha. Great, what am I ready for now? I'm ready for the next generation, I'm ready for Yitzhak. But immediately, I jump. Eile Toldot Yitzhak. So who are we going to speak about then? Obviously, Yaakov and Esav. And indeed, the whole next story is Yaakov and Esav. Rivka is pregnant. That's where the whole story starts. We begin with their story, with their rivalry, with the Bechorah, the birthright, etc. We seem to have completely jumped Yitzhak. So I just want to share Well, I'll give out the source sheet. I just want to look at the first Rashi on the parasha. Okay? Leave one for the past one, pass them round. Oh, sorry. That's fine. So Rashi, you can also follow it in the Chumash if you want. No, sorry, I didn't divide them up so well. More going around there. El Toldot Yitzchak says Rashi, Yaakov Esav Ha'amurim Parshat. Right, we're speaking about Yaakov Esav. We're going straight to there. Okay, but then Rashi deals with the continuation of the verse. Yitzchak ben Avraham. Yitzchak is the son of Abraham, and then it seems to repeat itself immediately afterwards. Abraham holid it Yitzchak. Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Why does it repeat itself? Why can we not move without stating once again that Yitzchak is the son of Abraham? So look at this amazing Rashi. Al yedei shekatav hakatuv Yitzchak ben Abraham. Since it said that Yitzchak is the son of Abraham, huzkak lomar, it needed to say immediately afterwards, Abraham holid et Yitzchak, Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Why was this so? You might remember the story in last week's parasha. In fact, maybe let's even turn back there. Let's go to Bereshit chapter 20. Anybody ever noticed this before? Bereshit chapter 20 is the story of Abraham going down to Gerar. There he meets the Plishti, the Philistine king, Avimelech. And what does he tell Avimelech? Who is Sarai? Who is Sarah?
Sister.
His sister, exactly right. Avimelech says, okay, well then she's not married. I'll take her for me. He has a dream. She spends the night with him. He gives her back. That was chapter 20. What's chapter 21? Sorry? Yitzchak's born. Right? Sarah is with Avimelech. Chapter 20, chapter 21. Sarah gives birth to Yitzchak. So, what does Rashi tell us? End of the first line in the Hebrew of Rashi. Lefi shehayu leitzanei hador, the scoffers of the generation, the clowns of the generation, omrim Avimelech nitabra Sarah. They say, how does Sarah give birth? How does she get pregnant? Not from Abraham, from Avimelech. Right here you've got this old couple who have lived together for decades, unable to have a child. Suddenly she spends one night with a pagan king, and look, she becomes pregnant. We're really going to believe that Abraham is the father? Obviously, actually it's Yitzchak ben Avimelech. Right? And that's what the scoffers of the generation would say. Shaharei kama shanim shahatayim Abraham. How many years was Sarah with Abraham? But lo nitabra haimenu, and she didn't become pregnant through that. Masach Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was it that God did? Tzar klastel panav. God made an identical, like, mask or a mold. Shel Yitzchak domel Avraham. That Yitzchak looked identical to Avraham. Ve'he'idu hakol Avraham holidet Yitzchak. And everybody would therefore testify, everybody would state clearly, Abraham must be the son of Yitzchak. He looks exactly like him. V'zehu shakatav kan, and that's why it's written here, Rashi tells us, Yitzchak ben Abraham. Haya Yitzchak was the son of Abraham. Shaharei edut yesh Abraham holidet Yitzchak, because it's clear Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. It's a brilliant story that Rashi puts in there. It connects up very interestingly the juxtaposition of Sarah and Abimelech with the birth of Yitzchak, and explains brilliantly this repetition. So you might say, oh, it's a midrash, and really, still the text itself, we need to explain the text of why this repetition. But really the midrash works very well with it. According to the midrash, Yitzchak is identical to Abraham. Yitzchak looks exactly like Abraham. He's the spitting image of Abraham, and that's the first verse that we've got. So that's the overall introduction, right? So I mentioned that Eile Tondot, these are the generations, means not we're going to talk about this person, we're going to talk about the sons or the children of this person. So seemingly we're expecting now to learn about Yitzchak, to read about the stories of Yitzchak, and we just jump immediately to Yaakov and Esau. There is only one chapter of Bereshit which is clearly Yitzchak's, where Yitzchak is the central character, he's the sole character, he's the active character. He appears in many other stories that he's sort of like either being acted upon, or he's secondary, right, or he's not present and somebody's doing something for him, etc. All the other stories of that. The only chapter where he is the central one is Perek Kafvav, chapter 26. Maybe it's not the most famous chapter because it's not the most dramatic in terms of the stuff which is in it. But if we want to understand Yitzchak, and if we want to be able to see who is Yitzchak, is he only the son of Abraham, identical to Abraham, or does he have something independent to him? This is the chapter that we've got to look at. Okay, chapter 26, Perek Kafvav, we're on page 128. I'm going to read through it quite quickly in order just to cover ground and see what we've got there. And every time that we get to something which reminds us of Abraham, right, the one chapter which is devoted to Yitzchak, every time we get to something which seems to be about Abraham, I want people to put their hands up, okay, or shout out, do something, okay? I'm going to run through it quite quickly. V'yehi rav ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land, milvad harav asher haya bimei Abraham, in addition to the one that was in the time of Abraham. Thank you. Hands, right? This side, you're too slow. Very good. This side. Hey, that's what we'll do, okay? Megan on one side, Jessamine on the other, right? Competition, who can get their hands up first? Okay, so this side is winning 1-0, right? There is a famine in the time. Ah, just like there was one in the time of Abraham, right? Can't even have his own famine, right? It has to be looked at in the same way as the famine in the time of Abraham. Okay. V'yelech Yitzchak el Avimelech Mishplishtim Melech Grar. Very good, right? Rivka and Noah win that one, 2-0. What does Yitzchak do? Goes straight to the exact place where Abraham went in the time of the famine, Avimelech Grar. V'yera alach Hashem v'yomar. Hashem says to him, appears to him and says, Al tered Mitzrayimah, don't go down to Egypt. Shchon be'er ba'aretz, stay in the land of Israel. Asher omar elecha, which I tell you, gur ba'aretz hazot, stay in this land. Ve'ye imcha, and I will be with you. Ve'ar v'archecha, and I will bless you. Ki lecha ulzarecha, because you and your children. Eten et kol ha'aretzot ha'el, I'll give you all the land of God. If you put your hand up and I don't notice, then shout out. Yeah. What are you saying, Megan?
Like your offspring land.
Seems to be very similar to the bracha that Abraham got. Exactly, so that's why I would put my hand up there. It could be an independent bracha to him. However, stay ready there, Megan. V'akimoti et ha'shvua asher nishpati l'Abraham avicha. I'm going to fulfill the vow that I made to Abraham, your father. So, Megan might have been a bit early, but she seems to be correct. What is this bracha? It's the bracha that was given to Abraham. V'hilbeiti et zarecha k'chochvei ha'shamayim. I'm going to expand, I'm going to multiply your children like the stars of the heaven. Natati lezarecha et kol ha'artzot ha'el. And I'll give to your children all the lands of God. V'hit baruchu b'zarecha kol goyei ha'aretz. And all of your seed shall be blessed through, all the nations of the world shall be blessed through your seed. Why? Everybody still following? I'm going to help you out, this guy's in the side, it's about to come. Ekev, since Asher Shema Abraham Bakoli, since Abraham heard my voice. Why are you getting this bracha? Not because of anything you've done. Ekev Asher Shema Abraham Bakoli, because Abraham listened to my voice. V'yishmo mishmotai, mitzvotai, chukotai, v'toratai, he kept all of my commandments, all of my statutes. Okay, we are only at Pasuk Hey. What have we seen? Right? In addition to the beginning of the parasha, Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abraham holidit Yitzchak, that was number one. Number two, there was a famine, brackets, just like the famine in the day of Abraham. Number three, where does he go? Abimelech in Gerar, just like Abraham did. Number four, Hashem is going to bless him. Why? Because, well, fulfill the brit of Abraham. Number five, because, why? Because Abraham heard Hashem's voice. V'yeshev Yitzchak v'Gerar, and Yitzchak dwelt in Gerar. V'yishalu anshei hamakom, and the people of the place asked him, l'ishto, about his wife. And what did he say? V'yomel? Achotihi, she's my sister. Thank you. Jessamine gets that one. Right. Just like Abraham had said that. Seems to do exactly the same thing. I won't necessarily read all of the story. Avimelech realizes that actually she's not his sister. Right. And says, what on earth are you doing? How could you have done this? Very similar to the previous story with Abraham and Sarah. Okay, where are we now? Let's go to Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12. Vizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi v'yimtza b'shana ahi. That year, Yitzchak plants there. Me'er sha'arim, 100 gates. V'yivarchu Hashem, and is blessed by God. V'yigdal ha'ish, and the man becomes very great. V'yilech haloch v'gadal, becomes very strong, very well known. Ki gadal me'od. V'hilo mikneh v'tzon, mikneh v'bakar. Right, great in cattle, in sheep, much property. We're not told like Abraham, but Abraham's well known for becoming wealthy. Seems very similar. Now here we get the real classic one. V'chol ha-be'erot asher chafru avdei aviv bimei Abraham. Hold on, Becky. And all of the wells that were dug by Abraham's servants and of Abraham, sitmum plishtim, were filled in by the Philistines. V'imalu mafar, filled with dust. V'yomer avimelech el Yitzchak, lech mi'imanu, get away from us, right? Because you've become too powerful. For us, Yitzchak goes and dwells elsewhere. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18. Vayashov Yitzchak vayachpor et be'orot hamayim asher chafru bimei Abraham. Yitzchak goes back and he redigs the wells that were dug in the days of Abraham, his father, v'yistamun plishtim, acharei what Abraham, after the death of Abraham, they'd been filled in after Abraham had died. V'kralehen shemot. Everyone following this bit? It's my favourite bit. And what does he call them? He calls them the names. Kushemat asher karalahen aviv. Exactly the same names that his father Abraham had called them. And they find water there, etc. And then they have a fight with the shepherds of Gerar. And they fill the wells in again. And he goes back and forth and gives them a different name each time. Carries on. Now Pasuk Kaf Dalet, verse 24, Hashem now speaks to Yitzchak once again, page 132. V'yarelach Hashem balayla hahu, God appears to him on that night, v'yomer, and he says, Anochi Elohei Abraham Avicha. I, who am I? I'm the God of Abraham, your father. I'm not God, I'm not God of Israel, I'm not your God, I'm the God of Abraham, your father. Al tira, don't fear. Ki itcha anochi, because I am with you, uverachticha, and I will bless you, uverbeiti et zaracha, and I will make your seed very great. Why? Ba'avur Abraham avdi, because of my servant Abraham. It's almost so painful, right? Don't worry, you don't need to do anything. Everything, I'm going to give everything to you. Why? Ba'avur Abraham avdi, because of your father, because he did absolutely everything. Etc. etc. We can leave it here for now. Thoughts, responses. The one chapter, which is Yitzchak's chapter alone. I've lost count by now how many times Abraham appears in it, or how many times Yitzchak just appears to go through the same exact same motions that his father went through. Whether it be going down to Gerar, whether it be saying Achotihi, she's my sister, whether it be redigging the wells, whether it be the reason for the brachot. Thoughts?
It's just constantly the shadow.
Has anyone got that's a clear reading. That makes a lot of sense. In his shadow. John?
I guess the comment, like, it's also, like, I was thinking about this for the first pasuk also, was saying,
and nothing more than that.
Yeah.
Interesting, very interesting reading.
We could see it as a negative thing, like you're walking in or living in someone's shadow, but we emphasize in Judaism so much that concept of Mesora, and that's what Yitzchak's really doing. He's allowing Avram's nothing, and he has no offspring if Yitzchak doesn't continue on.
Ashrech Adam, I want to share the following with you. Take one and pass it on. Yeah, Jessamine. Hold that idea. We'll come to that idea in a few minutes. Okay? The piece we're about to read is going to be the end of part one. as John said, as Becky said, you can look at this sadly, you can look at this negatively. Yitzhak is in his shadow. He hasn't got anything unique, independent to him. But I want to actually play a bit with the idea that Dana just shared as follows. I'm going to read a piece from Rushdie's Arts in a wonderful essay on Yitzhak, and let's start with the following idea. The very last thing that Yahadut, that Judaism, would have needed at this time was another Abraham. Another person to smash the idols. Another person to begin again. Another revolutionary. We can divide history into two sorts of ideas, or two sorts of eras. Those where things are being constantly reinvented, and those when the brilliant insights of previous generations are being implemented and are being deepened and being strengthened. Here's Rufstein's answer. Isaac, calling Yitzhak's essential problem was to find his own place in a world dominated by the genius of his father. In such a scenario, he did the only thing possible. He carried on. The task of the successor has always been one of the most unrewarding in history. It has often been said that all beginnings are difficult, but continuations can be even more difficult. The capacity to persist is no less important than the power to begin. In all the significant revolutions of history, it is evident that the first generation, the founding fathers, usually have to struggle against tremendous difficulties. One does not ascribe to the second generation the same glorious qualities that capture the imagination when thinking about the first generation. But the judgment of history as to whether the revolution has been a glorious victory or merely a passing phase lies with the revolutionary successors, those whose task it is to fix and stabilize the revolution. That is such a beautiful piece, and really, I think it's Emmet, that especially today, we live with such a worldview that if you haven't founded your own startup by the age of 23, if you haven't come up with some completely new concept, then, you know, you haven't made it. You're not one of the main people, right? That's the Abraham, the innovator, the iconoclast, the revolutionary, the person who breaks the idols. What the Torah is giving us here is that who is Yitzhak? What is Yitzhak's greatness? What is his strength? So he continues, that he takes his father's insights and he applies them and he deepens them and he locks them in. So the Abraham won't be one-off flash in history, but the Abraham actually bequeaths something, gives something to the world for the rest of history, for posterity. Ad kan, hakafa aleph, until now, round one. I'm not going to disagree, I'm not going to go back on anything I've said, I really think it's correct. But what I want to share relatively briefly, and you'll see there are some other sources on your sheets, is that actually, Yitzhak doesn't just repeat what his father did. He finds himself in many very similar situations, but in fact, in each one, his mataken in some way improves upon the scenario in which his father found himself. Let's go through the chapter one by one, chapter 26 that we've already read, and watch how in each case it seems that Yitzhak is doing the same thing as his father, but actually there's a subtle difference each time. Start at the beginning of the parasha. Yitzhak and Rivka, like so many women in Tanakh, is barren. Akarahi, she cannot have children. What are the other models which we're familiar with in Sefer Bereishit of how a husband is able to have children even though his wife can't have children? Yeah? And? So what does Abraham do? Hagar, right? Very good. What does Sarai say? Take my handmaiden, right? Then Sarai becomes so upset. You'll remember, once Hagar gives birth. Look at this Rashi, right? Says Sarah, back in Perek Tetzayin, chapter 16, second source on the first one I gave, Hamasi Alecha. Sarah says to Abraham, my complaint is against you. Not against Hagar, it's against you. Hamas ha'asui li. Alecha ani matilek ha'onesh. I'm throwing this punishment against you. Kshi palalta la'akadosh baruch hu. When you pray to God, Abraham, what were your words? And this is now the quote from the Pasuk. Matitenli. What can you give me, God? Me, li, in the individual. Va'anuchi holech aviri, I'm going without anybody to inherit me. What does Sarah say? Lo hitpalalta ela alecha. You only prayed for yourself. You were only looking out for yourself. V'haya lecha litpalel al shneinu. You should have prayed for the two of us. V'hayiti ani nifkedet imcha. And maybe that way I would also have become the parent of your child. How different is Yitzchak. Yitzchak prays lenochach ishto. We're told, right, Rivka is barren, the beginning of this week's parasha. V'ya'ater l'Hashem. Yitzchak, very interesting word, ya'ater is, anyone help me? Begs of God, right? Pleads with God, l'nochach ishto, facing his wife. Interesting that phrase, facing his wife. Rashi, ze omed bezavit zu mikpalel, zu omedet bezavit zu mikpalel. This one stood in one corner, this one stood in another corner. It's a beautiful image of the two of them praying together. The Midrash really develops this idea. V'yater Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto, bereshit rabba, bottom of the first page. Rabbi Yochanan b'Reish Lakish, they both had things to say about it. Rabbi Yochanan amal, sheshafach tvilot ba'osher, he just threw out, shofech, literally to spill. So many prayers did he have, did he ask of God account of this. Reish Lakish amal, shehefech atakzera, he turned the decree on its head, halfway through the second line, l'nochach ishto, opposite his wife, melamed, to teach us. Shehaya Yitzchak shatuach kan, v'hi shatuach kan. Both of them prostrated themselves in the same room, and both of them said, Omer ribono shel olam, said Yitzchak, master of the universe, kol banim, all the children, shatan oteli, that you're going to give me, I want them to hum min ha-tzadeket hazu. I want them to be from this woman, from this tzadeket, this righteous person. Afi amra ken, and she said exactly the same thing. Kol banim sh'at atid liten li, all of the children that you're going to give me in the future, she said, I want them to hum min ha-tzadeket hazu. To be from this person. The Midrash doesn't make it completely explicit, but I think it's basically obvious why they're being praised, because Yitzchak doesn't have to have a Hagar. Yitzchak doesn't have to have a Bilha or a Zilpah. Right? There is something so beautiful that this is a monogamous marriage. Right? They don't require any other partner. Right? But Abraham, at least in Rashi's reading, thought of himself and Sarah only as an adjunct to that. Yitzchak and Rivka are a team in this, right? Just to make something Lamar said for a moment. I know this, you know, probably seems very distant from many of you. I really hope it's not the case for anybody in this room, but if it's not, I promise you it will certainly be people you know. Fertility is a real issue, not just in the Tanakh, but to this day as well. And it's such a challenge for couples, and you know, it's easier said than done, but you know, so much of how a couple copes with it is whether they're really able to see it as their joint endeavour, as their joint struggle, and not, you know, it's one or the other of them who is facing the problem. That's part one. What was the second thing that Yitzchak seems to do that parallels his father? There is a famine, and where does he go? Gerar, right? That's true, Abraham has been to Gerar, but there are actually two famines in the time of Abraham. Where did he go the first time? Mitzrayim, right? Now, there's a very interesting machloket, the Radak and the Ramban, as to whether or not it's a praiseworthy thing that Abraham goes to Mitzrayim. According to the Radak, it is. He was thinking pragmatically. According to the Ramban, it's a great sin. He had faith that God would look after him in Eretz Yisrael. However, it's certainly clearly a positive thing that Yitzchak stays in Eretz Yisrael. Let's just quickly read back the verses. We're basically the beginning of chapter 26, Perek Kafav, page 128. There was a famine in the land, just like in the days of Abraham. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Kim Gerar. He goes to Gerara, which is still part of Eretz Yisrael, even though he has to move because the famine stays within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And at that moment, Hashem appears to him. Vayar elav Hashem. Vayomer al tere Mitzrayim. Don't go down to Egypt. Good that you've gone to the right place. Shchon ba'aretz. Stay in the land that I've told you about. Gur ba'aretz. Not stay in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'yeimcha. And I will be with you. Yitzchak gets two words from Hashem that Abraham never gets. Abraham is never told, ve'yeimcha, and I will be with you. And the following is really cool. At the risk of sounding like a super B'nai Akiva Madrif, which Brandon will be very pleased with, I'm not saying this as somebody who grew up in Bnei Akiva, and I love Bnei Akiva. I'm saying this to somebody reading Tanakh. What does the phrase Yehimcha mean? I will be with you. Where does it appear? It only ever appears with regards to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem is not with us, it seems, in the same way outside of Eretz Yisrael. To show you that I'm not making this up. Second half, second page that you've got. So you're loving this, Brendan. Right? Yaakov has spent many, many years outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says, yalla, time's up. Back to Israel. Enough already. Making your parnasah in Chutz La'aretz. Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov. Hashem says to Yaakov, shuv el Eretz Avotecha. Go back to the land of your forefathers, Ulamadotecha, and your birthright. Ve'ehye imcha. And I will be with you. I will be with you if you go back to Eretz Yisrael. Jump forward four books of Tanakh. Vayatzav et Yehoshua bin Nun. Moshe commands Yehoshua bin Nun. Vayomer, and he says, Chazak v'yemetz, be strong, be brave. Ki ata tavia b'nei Yisrael el ha'aretz, because you're going to bring the children of Israel into the land, Hashem ishbati lahem, which I have promised them. Va'anochi ehyeh imach, and I will be with you. Where will I be with you? Only b'Eretz Yisrael. Abraham, who leaves Eretz Yisrael in times of famine, doesn't get ehyeh imach. Yitzhak, who stays, he gets ehyeh imach. Third one, which we'll try and do as quickly as we can because it's the most complicated one, seems that he makes exactly the same mistake as Abraham in terms of saying, Achoti, she's my sister. Right? Anybody notice any actual differences? Yeah,
she's
no.
Never taken.
Very good. She's never taken. Right? Remember last week we spoke about type scenes, right? Staying at Tfus, meeting the girl at the well. Right? So another type scene is going to a foreign land, because of famine, foreign king there, and saying, my wife is my sister, right? Notice also the differences. The first time that Abraham goes to Mitzrayim, Sarah is taken and seems to spend time, significant time with Paro, and we can make assumptions as to what would happen in a foreign king's palace. The second time Abraham goes to Gerar, Sarai is taken, but returned before anything happens. This time, she's not even taken. Anything else? Any other differences? You may recall, in both the cases of Abraham, Abraham says to Sarah when they get there, you're going to say you're my sister. It's going to be a defense mechanism for me. It will look out for me. What happens in this case? Pasuk Vav. Right, he doesn't suggest the idea at all. It only comes as a response to the people. Pasuk Vav, Vayeshev Yitzchak Begerar, Vishalu Anshe HaMakom LeIshto, and the people of the place ask about him, and only as a response does he say, V'yomer Achotihi, she's my sister, because he is fearful. But he's never said that she's his sister until now. They presumably haven't lived like that. And so, what then happens? People are suspicious. Really? Is she actually his sister? Didn't look like she was his sister. And what is Abimelech doing? He looks out of the window at them, and before he's ever taken her, says, she's not your sister, right? Classic joke in Israel, Beinishim, Bnei Yeshivot, Tachan Amer Krasit, that's just used for the sake of the argument, Emek Refine, right? One sees his friend with a girl, and says, oh, who's she? And she says, oh, she's my cousin. Says, oh really? Oh, she was my cousin last week, right? Right? Meaning, you're not. Abimelech's already suspicious, right? He doesn't see. He doesn't think that it's the case, and therefore it never gets as far as it ever got with Abraham, and she has never taken.
Isn't the same thing about the Abraham Abimelech story? He just says straight out, she's my sister, without putting the charge first.
Is it in response to the people? I don't think so. So you've got a progression. Abraham also seems to improve upon himself, but Yitzchak goes all the more so. Anybody remember what happens immediately after Abimelech and Abraham and Abimelech and Paro part ways?
Gifts.
Lots of gifts. He becomes rich. It's a bit shady. Thank you, Ben. That's the word I was looking for. A bit shady. What did you say here? Sketchy. Right? It's part of my new American lexicon. Right? A bit sketchy the way in which he becomes rich. Yitzchak also becomes becomes rich in the immediate aftermath of this, but how does he become rich? By working hard, by planning the land, by serving well, and he's blessed for it. Okay? Final one. Right, we've seen three ways in which Yitzchak doesn't repeat his father, he improves upon his father. Firstly, akarut with regards to fertility. Secondly, with regards to staying near Israel. Thirdly, with regards to Avimelech. Finally, anybody ever thought about this? Abraham and Yitzchak both have less successful sons. Yishmael on the one hand and Esav on the other. What's the difference in the way in which Abraham relates to Yishmael compared to the way in which Yitzchak relates to Esav? That's a very simple way of putting it. You know, we spent time a few weeks ago speaking about Yishmael, and I know I emphasised very strongly actually the more positive elements of Yishmael's character. John?
Maybe Yitzchak looked towards the positive in Esav. Like, he was very, he looked at his strengths and said, go out, advertise me so I can give you a bracha and
fair.
Spiritually.
Yeah, fair, Becky?
I was saying, he projects his feelings towards Yishmael onto Esav, because maybe he sees some similarities.
Yitzchak's feelings. Very, very interesting, intriguing, especially if you think what we spoke about last time or two times ago, that Yitzchak lives in Be'er Lachai Ro'i, the place where Yishmael had spent his time. Although I think Yishmael is not a negative character, as you might remember from a couple of weeks ago, and even though Pinchas is correct that we do think that Abraham loves Yishmael, we don't actually ever get any conversations between Abraham and Yishmael. The Torah never tells us of any of them. By contrast, Be'ahav Yitzchak et Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav, right? There's a wonderful midrash. I'm sorry I wasn't able to pull it up. The midrash which says, didn't Yitzchak know Esav's characteristics, right? If we're going to assume all these negative character traits which are put onto Esav, didn't Yitzchak know that? And so, yeah, of course he knew it. And he still loved him anyway. He said, do you really think if I don't love him, the results will be any better, right? Really exactly as John was saying. There's a fascinating educational parenting idea in there that, okay, you've got a child who doesn't live up to what you want, so what do? Do you throw them out? Do you kick them out? Do you say, you're not what I want? Or do you love them anyway, and do you look out for them anyway, and you try and encourage the best in them? That's what Yitzchak appears to do and appears to achieve with Esav. Megan? Sorry, exactly, spot on. That's I didn't mean to miss that point. Yishmael is kicked out. Abraham's very upset, but Yishmael's no longer there. Esav stays at home. Esav is there all the way till the end. One amazing midrash, which Rav Amital used to quote. We know that Abraham attracted many people. Right? Brought many people to faith, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Says the Midrash, after Abraham died, all of the wells that had been dug were filled in. All the people who Abraham had brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu went back to their Avodah Zarah, right? They went back to where they came from. Yitzchak redug the wells. Yitzchak, when he came of age, brought them all back. And when Yitzchak died, they stayed. And my teacher of Moshe Lichtenstein's reading of this midrash is, I think, a very powerful reading. I think it's correct. Who is Abraham? Abraham is charisma. Abraham is the power of his personality. He attracts people. He brings people in. But there's a flip side to charisma. Is wonderful. You can't start things without charisma. We couldn't have had Abraham without charisma. But the dark side of charisma is that there isn't the room for intimacy, necessarily. There isn't the room for the personal. Yitzchak doesn't scream charisma at us. Yitzchak goes out masuach basadeh to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the evening. He's quiet. He's a much more muted character. And yet it's that which kept the people there after them. I want to combine these two points, these two parts of the shiur. Yitzchak, on the one hand, is a repetition of his father. And as for Steinsaltz wrote, in that lies his strength. The last thing that Judaism needed at the time would be another Abraham, another revolutionary. But it's wrong, it's a misreading to say, oh, he just does exactly the same things. He takes his father's ideas, takes his father's achievements, and he pushes them a step further. He doesn't just repeat them, he deepens them, he repairs them, he strengthens them. Finishes one amazing thing. What's Yitzhak's first ever word? First, if not, well, not the first word he says as a child, we don't know. What's the first word that ever appears in Tanakh? See, I put the first and the last. You can look for it if you want. Bereshit, Perek Kaf Bet, Pasuk Zayin, chapter 22, verse 7. Anybody got it? Avi. Vayomer Elav Avi, Vayomer Hineni. My father, I'm here. His first ever word is my father. What's Yitzchak's last ever word in Chumash? The last word that we're ever given?
Abraham.
At the end of this week's parasha, he gives Yaakov, Birkat, Abraham, the blessing of Abraham. Yitzchak's whole life is lived between Avi and Abraham, between these two words. The first one who starts his life, my father, the one who finishes his life, Abraham. That is Yitzchak. What? It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. He lives the life of his father. His whole life is committed to deepening, to making real, to improving on the world that his father created. Have a great week, everyone.